But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But they said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then the women remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And then he went in, amazed at what had happened. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Well, here we are. You all look stunning. When I imagined what this Easter crowd would look like, you have gone beyond my expectations. Today, we come, Easter people, gather around that same old story about all those women, grief-stricken, walking to the graveyard early in the morning, about that surprising 2-ton stone that had been rolled away, about the angels dazzling in white, asking, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Most of us have heard this story many times, and it's a powerful story. It's powerful enough to bring us together. But there's a problem in this story. In all four Gospels, there is no glimpse of what happens to Jesus in the tomb. Nothing. There's no security footage that ends up on YouTube. There's no fingerprints to dust. Just some linens. Resurrection is this personal moment between Jesus and God. So what happened? Did God breathe a breath of life into the dry bones and say, "Let these bones live"? Or did God wave a hand over the body like a magician performing a levitation trick, saying, "Abracadabra, death be gone"? We don't know. So we gather around a mystery with no evidence. It's probably why the disciples have the reaction that they have. When the women come back from the tomb, these women, the first preachers on Easter, they say, "Good news, Jesus is alive." And what do the disciples say? "Yeah, right. It's an idle tale." Now, in the Greek, the words, they are not for Christian ears. The Greek word is leros. And translators, they try to curb this word on the soft side by turning it into an idle tale or nonsense or rubbish. But really, it's the same four-letter word that Father would use whenever one of us kids spilt the milk. Literally, what the disciples say is, "You are full of leros." The beautiful thing about being able to speak an ancient language is you can use all the curse words and nobody cares. That's a bunch of leros. We'd probably say the same thing if someone came to us and told us that a loved one was now alive. One day I was scrolling through the stations on the TV, and I happened upon a popular TV evangelist. There he was with his greased back hair and his bright bleached smile. He was a faith healer, and you know, there's somebody on the floor still. And there's a wheelchair left behind. And suddenly he lifts his hands in the air and he says, "Today, God wants to perform a miracle in your life. If you're in need of healing, God wants to heal you. If you are in need of provisions, God wants to bless you. If you are feeling low, God wants to raise you up." And then he got all theological. "You know, even Jesus had his setbacks. But after 3 days, God raised him up, and God wants to do the same thing for you." And then the other shoe dropped. "But you have to have enough faith first. You have to believe." So all you need to do is a sign of your faith is write a check and send it to the address at the bottom of the screen. And if God doesn't heal you after 90 days, we will give you every penny back. That's how much faith we have in God. Now, do you have that faith too? Now, it's been a while since I've watched one of these type of things. But I verbally blurted out, "That is a load of leros." Now, while it's my opinion that God is not going to heal someone just because they send a check to some guy on television with a spray tan, I've never heard of anyone being raised from the dead either. Have you? It's the disciples' response. The women preach the good news and they say, "Well, that's a bunch of leros." But do you remember what happens next? What does Peter do? He gets up and he runs over the tomb to see it for himself. He just doesn't take their word for it. He has to experience it. Isn't that how it is for us? We hear the Easter news, and it's hard to believe until we experience it for ourselves. Now, some of us grew up going to church. Yes. And our parents would bring us along in our new spring outfits. And we'd hear the preacher say, "He is risen," and the choir would ring their bells. And we'd come in our Sunday fancied best, and most of us children had no idea what it meant until we experienced it for ourselves. Do you have a memory? Now, I don't mean for us to get stuck on this, but some of you may not know that when my wife, Joy, was 5, she lost her birth mother to brain cancer. When Mom was in her last few weeks, she had this dream. In the dream, she was in an abandoned house under construction with a bunch of high school friends, when suddenly the floor fell beneath their feet and all the friends tumbled into space, except she did not fall. There were two arms holding her secure, refusing to let her go. The vision sustained her till the end, and it assured her that there is a force in this world stronger than death. Now, many people could have said, just let God catch you. Many preachers could have said, just believe. But we need to experience God holding us before we really know it's true for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
So do you have a memory? A moment? If you do, let it hold you. You see, I don't think our job is to convince people that Jesus has been raised. I think our job is to point to the empty tomb and let them experience whatever comes next for themselves. There was a man who had been going through many years of recovery in AA. He was speaking to a minister he was confessing about how he'd done many terrible things in his life. And he just had a really hard time believing that there was some higher power in the world that could forgive him. The minister was very aware that part of the recovery process is forgiveness. So she asked him, so what has kept you sober all these years? And then he launches into this story about this time when he wanted to have a drink again. So he goes to the ABC store and he buys a cheap bottle of tequila. And he gets into line and he puts the cash on the counter, and the clerk just looks him straight in the eyes and says, is this really what you need? He told her, now I can't explain it. I've never seen the guy before. This kind of thing's never happened to me. But you know what? Every time I want a drink, I remember that moment. Well, the minister just said, wow. God must really love you. Maybe people don't need to hear all these things that we hear that says either or, either you believe or you don't. Maybe we just point to the tomb and we let God's love speak for itself. That's what the women do. In other gospel stories, they're told to go tell, but they don't in Luke, and he's the evangelist. It's like If you watched the news last week, where you were in De Paris, and you saw Notre Dame burning, you know, on the news, you could hardly make it out. But on the street, there were a bunch of people gathered together. Do you know what they were doing? They were singing hymns. It's the sound of the risen Lord saying, even out of ashes, God can create something new. Or all those resurrection people who travel to the border day in and day out to bring coolers full of food and water for these traveling strangers they've never met. You know, in Scripture it says the desert will one day gush forth with springs. It's a vision of resurrection right there, the work of the risen Lord. Or maybe in Winston-Salem, in a small little church called Trinity, there's a people who aren't afraid to say Black Lives Matter. There's people who don't flinch at embracing every human being. There's even a group of people who dare to believe with their lives, with their hands, with their love, that there's a force stronger than death. Come to think of it, all the evidence that's needed is you. The way you live and love and bring grace into the world in your everyday life, God's resurrection people. But you probably aren't going to believe me. At least, not until you've experienced it for yourself.